Hello, welcome to the Transmedia Podcast. I'm Natalie Rios, and today we have with us Al Jazeera reporter Juliana Rufus, who will be talking about Hacked, an immersive interactive investigation about the Syrian cyber war. Welcome, Juliana. Thank you very much for being here, joining us online.
Hi, and thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you. Okay, first of all, to begin, could you please explain us what Hacked is for someone who doesn't know the project? What does it consist of?
Sure. So Hacked came out of a film that I made for Al Jazeera Television where we investigated the Syrian cyber war. The idea was that a lot of people, of course, know that there's a ground war in Syria where people have a physical fight with weapons. But what is far less known is that there is also a cyber war. And the cyber war really has two target groups. On the one hand, activists and the opposition to President Assad are being targeted. They're under surveillance, but it went to the degree that they were arrested and sometimes even tortured for their passwords so that their social network could be revealed. And obviously it was about hacking, and the hacking also extended to military hacks, where basically the Assad government was hacking the armed opposition and could in this way influence the outcome of battles because they knew in advance what was taking place and what weapons were being bought. So that was what the film was about. And what I'm really interested in is finding new and different audiences for my journalism, because I'm very aware that as a current affairs reporter, I'm somewhat sitting in an ivory tower where I'm teaching, preaching to the converted. And the idea of the Hacked Interactive Project came out of a meeting with Robert Patton at Conductor, where we were thinking and talking about new ways of storytelling. And we were wondering if there is an interactive storytelling platform, specifically the Conductor platform, that we could use to tell the cyber war story in a different way. And basically what we came up with was the idea to use the Conductor messaging platform so that people could interact in a chatbot type of way with the various characters in the film. So we converted the interviews with the characters from TV on screen filmed interviews into text interviews, and in that way the user could not only have a very immediate conversation with these people, with black hackers, with activists who've been tortured and so on, but they could also interact with them and have an influence on the outcome of the story. And the one thing maybe that actually, yeah, let me go with that. And I'm sure you have more questions.
Well, yeah, one of my questions was why this approach? Why interactive? You said that you wanted to get new audiences and attract younger people. But also in Hacked, you use a lot of the game mechanics to actually explain how these social engineering tactics work. So can you tell us how you use these game mechanics to deliver knowledge and journalistic good journalistic practices? And
yeah, I mean, I think the thing that's really potentially interesting about Hacked is the fact that what we tried to do with the project, we didn't just present the interviews on a messenger chat platform, but there was an added a game dynamic in it, because we were saying to the users, investigate hacking without getting hacked. Mm-hmm. Now that's a game dynamic, because we're telling you, you know, do something but don't fall into a trap. But since this is a journalism project ultimately for Al Jazeera as a news broadcaster, the hacking attempts that we sort of, the way we play hack the user, every single hack in the project is based on a real hack that took place. And that, again, out of the journalistic research, one of the really interesting things that I couldn't incorporate in the film is the various ways in which people were hacked. And what we're doing in the Hacked Interactive Project, we take all these different ways, we base them strictly on what happened in real life, what happened, for example, to the activists, and that's how we're trying to come at you as the user. So if you are not careful, we're going to play hack you. So for me, what is the really exciting thing about this project is that it's not just the content that tells the story, but it's also the format. that exposes you to the story. So it's the format tells the story as much as the content. And I think that is something truly new.
It's the medium as well as
what
you're saying with it.
Exactly. Yeah.
That is great. Working with factual data is always delicate. So I know with this project you faced a lot of challenges about that. Can you tell us what challenges did you face and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, I think the sort of most difficult thing at some stage was we all between us had a lot of good ideas of how to create more interactivity. And what I hadn't foreseen from a journalistic point of view, that the more you make something interactive, the more it feels like a game. And for me as a journalist, one of the biggest problems was at some stage when it was all so gamified that it was still real, but it didn't seem real anymore because the game dynamic was so strong. And of course, as a news broadcaster, we have to be incredibly careful what we put on our website. The moment something either is unreal or appears unreal, there is a danger that our audience feels misled. So the way we try to resolve that is via two things. We developed a notification system in which we kept reminding people that this is actually real content and it's news content and it really had happened. But we also introduced a virtual notebook, which is really in some ways a copy of the journalistic notebook, in which the user could look up events and explore characters in more depth. And we also, but this was really an idea from the start, which also a lot of students who used the project in schools got quite excited about. We introduced live social media links to the various characters that we interview, so that the moment somebody clicks on these links, they realize that really they are dealing with real people. And I think bouncing back between, oh gosh, it feels like a game and it's really good fun, but oh wow, it's real and I'm dealing with real interviewees. I think that's the dynamics that really captured the audience most.
And do you think it's news channels and journalists? How do you think they receive or perceive interactive projects? Is it a good? Is it bad?
I mean, I thought we would get a lot of criticism, but maybe not a lot. But I did expect some criticism when we launched this because I thought maybe people are thinking that we're making light of a serious topic. And actually, from a journalistic point of view, I was trying to preempt that in a different way. When we make a film or when we do a print interview, I need to get consent from my interviewees that they agree to be featured in a film or in print. So I had these consent forms for the film for everybody, but I suddenly thought we're actually dealing in a new medium here, and I'm quite sure whether they had really given consent to appearing in such a way. So before we launched the project, I was actually in touch with every single person in this film, whether it was a Syrian activist or whether it was the guy in Paris who had created a hacking tool, and also like a white hacker in an activist in the US. And I sent all of them the project, and the question was really twofold. Firstly, do you give us permission to represent you in this project? Because nobody could anticipate that we would ever do that. And then secondly, also, please give us any feedback. And that was something that was particularly directed at the Syrians, because I think there's one criticism that I would have found very hard to live with if anybody in Syria would have thought we're making light of their conflict. I mean, that really was the single most important thing. And the feedback was extremely positive from Peter Fine, from the hacker in US Telecomics, and whose group, Telecomics, which is similar to Anonymous, had actually hacked the Syrian government. And he wrote in these gigantic letters on screen and said, your project is, and I'm going to bleep the next word, like, your project is bleep, 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 amazing. And it was a very big, swear word in it. And to get that sort of feedback from somebody who'd been a leading figure in the digital activism at the time was really pretty amazing feedback to get.
Excellent. And how has Hacked been received? among the final user, which is younger audiences, but also among schools, because I think one of the key things about Hacked is that it's being used for educational purposes. So
I mean, the educational is maybe not really a key goal, because I think my key goal will always remain to do journalism. So my number one goal is really for the journalism to reach audiences who wouldn't normally come onto an Al Jazeera website. And what we found in the with the analytics of this project, as also like a previous project that we did, way over 80% of visitors to Hacked and the previous project, Pirate Phishing, way over 80% had never been on an Al Jazeera website, had never been on our news website. Now, that to me really is a success, because that means we are getting an audience. We were written about in Gamer Sutra and other sort of game publications. So that's fantastic. And also I did present the project in a few schools, which I guess is sort of the best way of checking something, because you stand back and you just classroom react, and then you see whether they, you know, whether they switch off and go on another website or whether they stay on it. And they were really pretty hooked, which was great for me to see. But I think the challenge with all these projects is, and I think maybe that is true for journalism now as a whole, is that, you know, the distribution system had been nailed in the past. We had like 4 or 5 channels on television, and we had pretty much a captive audience, and they couldn't switch around more than between the 4 or 5 channels. Whereas now we really have to work on our own distribution, and I think the challenge remains that if you build these projects, and even if they're good, and even if you get written about in game magazines, that is simply not enough. You have to engage so much in marketing and pushing your project out there. That is nearly as big a job as journalism itself, and quite often it does fall by the wayside because it's simply, like in my case, I just don't have the capacity. So I mean, to summarize, maybe successful in the audience that we reached, certainly bringing in a new audience, but the actual outreach and making the project known, that is where a lot more effort needs to be made.
Yeah, exactly. This is not your first interactive project. You've always been an advocate of interactivity and using different formats for delivering news, as you said. Have you developed a strategy or a method to approach projects in this way? Have you learned anything or developed any strategy of your own?
I think where I'm different in my thinking, I feel that a lot of storytelling in journalism has really been driven by technology. I feel there's been an increase in technology and a decline in editorial. So when I started working in small teams, where I typically work with the director, shooter, somebody who does the camera and shares the editorial with me, and then we really share all other jobs, it used to be editorial people who picked up a camera and taught themselves how to shoot. What I'm finding these days is that young shooters enter documentary making by being good camera people first and often foremost before the editorial. And I'm finding that in the interactive sector, that lives on by a lot of people really tripping on virtual reality at the moment. Now, I'm a more editorial person. I actually find VR, as it is at the moment, quite limiting. I don't think it's like it's a great immersive thing. So whether you are, you know, in at the Hajj or like in a very crowded place or in the aftermath of big environmental destruction, it is good for that. It can place you in the middle of something. But I'm still waiting to see there are some but more good examples of VR storytelling where they actually take you on a journey. Mm-hmm. So that sits directly at the other end, and maybe one day we'll meet. I'm really interested in the editorial. So what I'm doing quite often is low tech, but editorially high value. So I'm interested in narrative. I'm interested in maintaining journalism that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I also really want to challenge, and I don't really have a word for this person, the news consumer, the user, the, you know, it's no longer a reader or a viewer, because much more interactivity. So I want to challenge the user of my projects through interactivity and through a process of decision making, because I want them to understand the the effect of their decisions. And I think
yeah.
this is what HACCP potentially does quite well. It's like, you know, if you don't use a VPN, if you're if you don't keep yourself safe, there will be repercussion. And I think, you know, where film can be incredibly immersive, and sometimes you just want a lean back experience because good and amazing storytelling, amazingly crafted journalism, or not just journalistic, but documentary storytelling, it's great, and you should lean back and enjoy that. But there is room for something else, something that challenges you, and that's the room, the space that I'm after.
I think that it's really interesting, the comparison you made with VR. I think there are amazing VR projects, don't get me wrong, I love them, but it's true that they have the wow factor, but it's not so active. So if you want to create impact, okay, but if you want people to actually understand consequences or decision making, you need them to do something, to be active on the project. And I think that's what you do in your projects when you approach them in this way.
Yeah, sure. And I think you as well. And I think the whole idea of engagement and lasting engagement. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, we all really cracked it with HACCP or Pirate Fishing, but it's the beginning of a journey.
Yeah.
And I think we need to keep looking how we can make projects genuinely interactive and not just superficially.
Exactly. Do you have any upcoming projects or ideas out there?
I mean, I'm super interested in augmented reality. Because I think for me, augmented reality is way more interesting than virtual reality, because I think that augmented reality can again produce something. And I mean, sort of like my little, maybe my second pet theory is, because I am an investigative journalist, I do think there is an overlap between investigative journalism and there is an overlap between investigative journalism and gamification and interaction, because what you do as an investigative journalist, you have to collect clues, you have to build a case. Like, I mean, maybe if I do investigative journalism, I have to build a case, and especially if I accuse somebody of something, I do have lawyers in the office who look at my film before it goes out and says, where is your evidence? Do you have your evidence stacked up? Because if not, I have to worry about, and the channel has to worry about, a libel lawsuit. So I think this process of investigation and gathering of clues and evidence really lends itself to interactivity. Mm-hmm. So I want to inhabit that particular space more, and I'm working on a film about the arms trade at the moment. So maybe it's definitely an investigation, and maybe something interactive comes out of that.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, in terms of going back to what I said, what excites me about augmented reality is that really you can have that process of gathering clues. You can translate that to AR as well, and that would be something amazing to explore.
Yeah, exactly. It's translating the experience, the real experience, into something gamified but serious. So that's the idea of the serious
game.
Yeah,
I think that's why the projects have been used as educational projects. So we didn't out to do educational projects, but because I think we try and reveal the process of evidence finding as much as possible. That's why schools suddenly came and said, oh, you know, that's really good for pupils, they see how you do. Okay, if that's the byproduct, by all means, fantastic.
Yeah, of course. Well, I learned a lot working on this project. Yeah.
And that's what I love about those collaborations. I mean, I think they're really great. They're a really big learning curve.
Yeah, that's true. I think we have a lot of insights. Do you have any closing thoughts or any message about why do you think interactivity is important? You already said it, but anything, any learnings that...
Yeah, I think my big learning, I have a big takeaway from every project, and I think my takeaway from Pirate Fishing was we had interactivity and we had a virtual notebook to drag and drop evidence, but but there wasn't a real consequence to the click. And I think what we managed to do between us and Hacked, we created a project where the click had a consequence. Mm-hmm. But I think where we could have been maybe a little bit stronger, but what I think we all learned was the user interface on the project. Mm-hmm. And after Hacked, I've never looked at the same way at my phone again. I'm now a sucker for user interface. Anything, and I'm actually just playing around with a chatbot called Humani, Jessie Humani. I don't know if you know her, but mm-hmm. she lives on your Facebook Messenger, and you connect with her, and I'm now looking at the Transport for London chatbot, and I'm suddenly much more interested in user interface. So yeah, which means like sometimes I'm on a journalistic journey and something, now I'm on a user interface journey, so who knows.
Yeah,
what
well.
The user journey after the, or what my journey after the next project will be.
It's a key part of the user experience at the end, so it's really important.
Yeah. What was yours, since we worked on it together, what was your biggest takeaway on this?
Oh, wow. Always having, I think the key thing and the key learning is always having a reason for the gamification, just being very aware of how to use it and when to use it, and to justify it. I mean, to make it important, to create something that the user will take out of it, and not just put it there just by chance to make it fun. And balancing that, and creating something that is engaging, but also that creates awareness and that teaches people what you want to, you know, to teach or to evoke. So I think that, and the user testing and adapting as well, because the user is always changing, and it's hard to balance the feedback, and then you have to know how to balance it. So I think my key takeaway would be that, just how to balance the game mechanics with the user experience and engagement and the content, which is the primary thing. So,
yeah, and I guess, I mean, the thing that I also, because I look at projects like Humani, the Jessica one, and all these projects, I look at them very carefully, and I think the other thing is that the challenge of delivering interactive or gamified journalism, or journalism in a game format, the challenge is that you really, in some ways, limit it in your creative process. Mm. Because if something doesn't work, or if you need to change the story in a more fictional setting, then you just write it, you just make it up. But what you do in journalism, and it's in some ways similar to an editor of film, you come back with what you come back with.
Yeah.
And then all you have, for better or for worse, and then the creativity is to make the best of what you have, but you can't just create on top of that. And
that's true. It's very challenging, and in this project, I think this is the only project that I've had that is like that you have the raw material, which was the documentary, and that's what you had to work with. So it was really good, but it was a different creative process. So you had the raw material, and then you had to come up with a story that fit that, and that was journalistically accurate. So it was really fun to do, but very challenging as well.
Yes, I agree. A couple of sleepless nights were had.
Yeah.
So the other big, the really big takeaway is, and no, actually this is huge, and maybe this is the biggest takeaway of everything. If you create a new format, and I would argue that journalism in a game format is a new format in itself, then you have to teach your users at the same time what to make of it. Because if we're watching television, we know the rules. If we watch the news, we know it's the news, and the news will be fact. If we watch drama, we know it will be fiction. If we read a newspaper, we know whether it's an interview-based column or an analytical piece. But users will come across this project for the very first time. So you actually have to explain the rules of consumption. And I think this is what we hadn't anticipated. We thought that we can just put it out there and it will feel factual, and our news consumers or documentary consumers or whatever we call them, they will know how to take it. And I think this was, for me, one of the biggest realizations, that we actually had to teach them what this project is. We had to keep reminding them. It is. Yeah. So if you come up with a new format, you don't just have to explain the content. You actually have to explain the format itself. And I think this is why we had so many sleepless nights, because we hadn't anticipated that that was a job that we had to do and integrate to.
Juliana, thank you very much for sharing your experience about this project. And I really enjoyed being a part of it. And I definitely learned a lot, not only about the Syrian cyber war and the Syrian war in general, but I think it's a good example of how to create impact and how to deliver knowledge by experiencing rather than being passive. So if you can share with us how people can find you online or...
Yeah, so, I mean, firstly, thank you. And, I mean, I think we all learned a lot. So, yeah, all around. I certainly did. Yeah, if you want to find me online, probably the easiest thing is to look for me on Twitter. And the thing that trips everybody up is my surname, because it's got a H in a place where nobody expects it. So it's Juliana with a J and one N, J-U-L-I-A-N-A. And then the surname is Rufus, R-U-H-F-U-S. And the H is before the F, R-U-H-F-U-F. And look for me on Twitter, tweet at me, or also if you Google my name, you can find my website online.
Excellent. I will share the details anyway in the podcast publication. Okay, so great. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye. Thanks a lot. Nice speaking to you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.